Good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the second of October 2018. So very fast. It's a Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing with our chapter 21, the working of the nature of karma. We have finished the working of karma, chapter 20. Then tonight I think we will also try to cover what we promised you last Tuesday, to develop the understanding of why people can be affected by cancer. And there are five common symptoms of cancer patients which are very common. And most of these symptoms appear before they succumb to actual cancer. And once you see the symptom coming, it's very fast. Most of the time is within 6 months. Then if longer, you may have more severe type of cancer. It could be stage 3 or 4. But if you detect it early, sometimes it may not be serious. If it's just stage 1 or 1, you can reverse it actually. Okay, now let us prepare our mind, develop the sadda, the virya, then mindfully we shall commence the Buddha Puja. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sinh Pusa. Namo Quan Sinh Pusa. Namo Quan Sinh Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami.
กามิสุมิจฉาจาระเวรมะนีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมะนีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรัยมัจจาปะมาดัตถานะเวรมะนีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิ
Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja offering of light.
กันนาสารปาดิเทนาดิเพนาตามาดังสีนาติโลกาดิปังสัมบุตดังปูญายามิตามโนดังกันดาสัมบรายุเทนาดุเพนาหังสุกังหินาปูญาเยปูญานิยังตังปูจาบาจานามุตเถมังวันนากันดากุโนเพตังเอตังกุสุมาสันตตินปูจายามิมุนินดาสสิริปาดาสโรโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกุสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนาโอตุโมคังปุปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเทปานิยังปริกาปิทังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตเถมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปาเลปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตเถมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตโบจานังปาริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตเถมัง
Now we are chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering the of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein.Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One.Who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, Sadhu.Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Tripajam.
Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi.
Okay, you can be seated. Then just relax body and mind, and we can have half an hour of meditation. We are off the light. For those who already know how to meditate, you straight away can go ahead. For those who still need to train your mind, you just do it. The training of the mind is very simple. If your mental hindrance are still there, your spiritual faculty has not stabilized, then you tend to have this mental hindrance that will make you heedless or think a lot. The hindrance of mind will hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. That's why you can't develop the meditative state. So it's okay. If you know how to train your mind can calm down very fast. So the best way is to use the mind sweeping method, where you just relax body and mind, silent everything, don't think. Then just feel. Maintain attention at your forehead, starting with the forehead, just feel. If there's any tension, any tightness, you just feel it soothingly, relax, 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 and relax into it. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then sweep down to your facial muscle. Whatever tension, stress within, or tightness, you just relax into it. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then as you sweep down, your mind become more quiet because you just feel relaxed. You don't think anymore. So this will decondition your heedless thinking. Then after that, in order to help you to relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you have joy. Then you are relaxed naturally. When you have joy, there is no tension, no stress. You feel relaxed. Then you can radiate loving kindness or metta. Starting with yourself, you can recite, following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. When you recite it, you must feel it, your entire body and mind, completely relaxed, having the well-being and happiness. Each and every cell within your body, entire body and mind, your being and your nature. Feel the peace within, the calmness, the well-being. Then after that, you can continue to radiate. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May no harm come to you. Then may your mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves peaceful and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can radiate this metta to your loved one, extending it to all your family members, your loved one, people whom you care, you radiate the same. Then after that, you can extend to all the living beings, non-human, known and unseen and unseen within this vicinity, together with the Kayanamitas who are meditating with you. So you also wish them well and happy, well and happy. Then you extend the whole metta like before. then you can extend from here to all beings within the entire access to Petaling Jaya, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then our solar system, our galaxy, then all beings within the Milky Way, then finally extending to all beings in the entire universe. May they all to be well and happy, well and happy, without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they always keep themselves happy and peaceful. May they do be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. And may their mind states to be always peaceful and calm, relaxed and away. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle. You move your attention down to your neck, feel relaxed. Then you sweep it down to your shoulder, feel relaxed. Then you sweep it down to your hand, feel relaxed. Then back to shoulder. Then after that, you sweep it down to your heart. This is a very important location. Your heart is where your heartbeat is. The life force, it arises and passes away at the place where your heart beats, or the pump, the karmic nature, or they call the life force. When it arises, it will pump your heart. And this is where the seat of consciousness is. Your consciousness resides there. Then it will trigger off the activity of mind. From there, the pulse of life starts to vibrate and pump the blood to nourish your whole entire body. That's how you are able to receive nutrition, nutrient. Then this is life force energy, consciousness. The existing consciousness that are trapped inside is just the original first aspect of consciousness that you need to have to maintain the activity of the body. But to sustain it, you need your karmic force, which is your life force, that come on and beat the heart. That's why when you ask the doctors or the medical people, they will tell you, when your heart doesn't beat, you will die. Because without the heartbeat, the blood cannot be sent around to nourish your bodily organ, and even your other bodily cells. Once that happens, they call death. So when there is no heartbeat, there is no breathing, your organ will fail. Then consciousness cannot stay there, it has to separate. That's how people go through the death process. Sometimes the karmic force that come when your destructive karma is around, it will stop the karmic force from coming. That's how you die. Then sometimes karmic force may still be there, but your physical body get damaged, destroyed. Sometimes due to accident, sometimes due to stroke or whatever, or heart attack and all those things. Then you just fail. And when the organ and physical body cannot support the consciousness within, this consciousness has to leave. That's how you die. Then sometimes the consciousness come out, and you can also die. So it depends on the three conditions: the physical body, the consciousness that is trapped inside, and the life force, karmic force. These three conditions must be there to sustain the human life. or we call it the animated human being. The human being is only existing or alive when the supportive conditions are there to sustain it. Any of the three gone, this form and mind has to separate, and the human being dissolve. It cannot exist anymore. So that's what life force is all about. That's what the human being or fire aggregate or form and mind is all about. It is not you. It is impermanent, leading to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. Therefore, it is non-self, anatta. And because it's anatta, there is no reality. Everything is just dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of phenomena. No reality. That's why empty nature of existence. So all this, you need to meditate to awaken, to realize all this, to see clearly with your silent mind, awareness within. Okay, I will just let you continue with your mind sweeping method and training of the mind. So the mind sweeping method, actually after that, continue. When you are at the heart, you just silence everything and just feel. Don't think, just feel. If you are new, you are not sensitive, then you just, like, you feel your forehead, relax into it. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you sweep it down further. But for those who already trained, know how to meditate, when you are at the heart, you just silence everything. Then you will detect your own heartbeat. Then sometimes you can also detect the pulse of life, any vibration within your heart area, anywhere. You feel the pulse of life. You just silence everything and stay there. When your mind can stay there, that is mindfulness. And when it can stabilize there, that's the stability of mindfulness, leading to what they call samadhi. So you just relax, silent, and just maintain awareness. The anchor is the pulse, the vibration of the heartbeat. Just let it move in synchrony as one. Just like anapanasati, the mind and the breath move as one. Breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. But in the case of the heart, just silent. The awareness will be aware of the movement of the heartbeat very clearly. The arising and the passing away, the whole of the movement. Then as you continue to relax and silent, it becomes more quiet, more quiet, more quiet, until very quiet still. There is pasati. In between, you will experience piti and sukha. This is for those who know how to meditate and stay at the heart. If you can't, you continue to sweep down. Just relax, silent, feel, relax, feel, relax. Don't think until you reach the buttock. Then reverse the whole thing. Then by the time you finish one or two rounds, you are more calm and more peaceful. So what you need is to build up the mindfulness. To build up the mindfulness, you have to stabilize it. So to do that, you have to use a skillful means, an object of meditation, to anchor this mind. The Buddha recommend anapanasati because it's a very neutral object. Our breath, our breathing is always present in front of us. So when you are mindful of the breathing, you are actually mindful of the present moment awareness. That's how it stabilizes your mindfulness. So you develop anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So it's just mindfulness of the in and out breath. So to do that is very simple. Instead of feeling your forehead, you feel in front of your nostril. Just silence everything and feel. Then as you detect the breathing in, your mind and the breath move as one, no word, nothing. Then breathing out, the mind and the breath move as one. So this is your training. Every time the mind wanders off because you are not used to it, never mind, let it be. Then repeat, come back to the breathing again. Silent, detect the breath again. If you are patient, not long, the anapanasati will stabilize. It will set in. Then you will feel very good, very calm. When you are able to develop the mindfulness of this in and out breath, you will experience a calm mind. And you will experience the first important enlightenment factor of piti. Piti is a spiritual rapture, or spiritual joy, spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness of mind that you experience when you are mindful without thought. Then you continue to relax into it and silent until the anapanasati become more and more subtle, more and more subtle, until you become very quiet. As you go through this, as you relax into every mind state that arises from piti, you will experience sukhang. Sukhang is blissfulness of mind. You feel your mind very calm and very blissful. And at the same time, it becomes more refined. Then you continue to relax into it until the whole breathing becomes very quiet, like there is no more breathing. Or the breathing becomes very subtle, like you can hardly detect it. That is the sign of good progress. Means you have reached the silent mind. The only thing is you are not skillful yet. It hasn't stabilized. And you don't understand what this is. So when you reach that state, don't panic. Don't worry. Don't go and think that you are not breathing, you will die. Forget about it. You just relax and silent everything. Then maintain the silence. Just stay there. Don't do anything. Don't even do sitting and touching. Just maintain the silence. Then that time, the subtle breathing becomes so subtle until when your mindfulness becomes more refined, more developed, then you will suddenly be able to feel the subtle breathing. It's like the breath come back, but it's not the breath come back. It's your mindfulness having developed the refinement that enable you to be mindful of even the subtle breathing. It's like no more breath, but the internal breathing, the internal movement, very subtle, but you can maintain it. You can maintain it. You can finally stay there. Then this mind, for the first time in your life, without concentration, without samadhi, nothing, it will just stay still, quiet, without thought. That is your true mind. That is your true nature. That is your essence of mind. You need to realize this. Then stabilize it, silent. This is the mind that can meditate, can understand a lot of things, because this is the meditative mind. So the form of sitting is to train your mind until you are able to stabilize this mind state of sati, leading to pasati. So when pasati stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. Then it can understand many things. Whatever that arises within your form and mind become very clear to you. And you can experience all of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about. You can see your own mental hindrance, if there is. You can also see the enlightenment factor. Then you can also see your spiritual faculty all within. Then you can also see the dependent origination, condition arising, causal phenomena, dwelling, how upon contact of mind with your senses and the external sense data, consciousness arise. Then when consciousness arise, when you are mindful, very fast the content of consciousness went in. Without wisdom, the content of consciousness will have wrong view. It will stir the mind. That's how you develop the mental hindrance. But when you are able to see all this and understand that the aggregates of mind that arise, they are dependent originating, not real, not inherent in you, then your understanding becomes different. Then with understanding, the Buddha's teaching become more and more clear, more and more clear, until you are no longer deluded. Then you can straighten your view. Then you can have this understanding in the midst of life. That's how your daily mindfulness can become more and more stable. Without this initial wisdom born of the clarity of mind to investigate the form and mind, it's not easy to develop the daily mindfulness. Daily mindfulness can only be done when the initial wisdom is there. That's the reason why the Buddha said in the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness, he said in the opening statement, after overcoming sorrow and lamentation, covetousness, sorrow and lamentation, then only you go into the mindfulness of the kaya, then the mindfulness of feeling. Before you overcome covetousness and grief, you can't, because you don't have the initial wisdom, you will continue to entangle yourself. But when the initial wisdom comes, you will not grieve, you will not cling, then you will not become affected by change, by the universal characteristic that arises with every phenomenon. That's why you will not grieve anymore. Then from there, your mind is very quiet, very peaceful, very calm. It has the mindfulness to understand many things. That's why from kaya nupassana, your mindfulness stabilizes. And kaya nupassana include all of your formal training, formal anapanasati, initial training. Then immediately when your sati develop, you're supposed to go into the daily life. You're supposed to develop mindfulness of the four posture, followed by mindfulness of every action, every movement in the present moment. So all these are in the teaching. That is what daily mindfulness is all about. So when you stabilize your daily mindfulness, when you can really do it, you are most of the time aware, peaceful, calm. That is what heedfulness is all about. When you are constantly aware and you use it to meditate, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, that is heedfulness. Means the constantly meditative, ever mindful, they will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana. This is Dhammapada verse 23. So meditation is very simple when you understand all this. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Then when the half an hour is up, I will ring the bell. You got another 13 minutes. Okay. What else? Who still wants to meditate? You can continue. And for those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. After chanting book, we will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas in this universe, in their entirety. Let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which is heaven released, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanahiko Pachatan Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Adidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttaram Punyaketam Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect. Triple jump. Badang Pujami Dhammang Pujami Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we shall continue with our sharing. I think let us sit nearer. I will bring my chair over. Put it there. Yeah. the rice can come nearer. Just here. Okay, we will continue from where we start. But before that, I'd like to maybe just make one announcement. You saw in the My Kilometer WhatsApp, our Shangri-La trip, the recent Yunnan Shangri-La trip. The whole of the photos and the whole arrangement with the description, they are very well done. I think most of you all have seen. Oh, sorry, I didn't send to My Kilometer. I only sent to a few people. Those who went for the trip, mostly. Okay, now I know. I had to correct that. Then we should thank Brother Tim, Sister Pamasuri, and also not forgetting Tony. Tony also did it up. So Tony has the photo all in sequence. Then Brother Tim, I think he has the rest of the photo. So they together with Pamasuri, I think they did a lot of very meticulous sorting out and arrangement. And also they have to collect those description. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, until day 8, and all the temple's name together with all the things that we pay visit to. So my daughter also went through and she said, good reminiscence, very good, can let her recall vividly what actually happened. So like I shared with you all when we were there, and also at the briefing, these spiritual trips are very unique, very special. Then when you go for this spiritual trip, because we travel together for 8 or 9 days, the collective energy, the understanding, the wholesomeness, they are really, really beautiful and beyond your wildest imagination. You can never understand. A lot of things happen, only the cultivator understand. Then everything like fall into place, everything like meant to be will be. Then things that we're supposed to encounter and see, we get to see them. Then many of these things that you have done, you may not know their significance, but after you get old at your later age, like I always say, and you reflected back and ask yourself, what have you done with your this life? You will have a lot of joy because you never wasted your life. You have done so many things that money cannot buy, I tell you. And these are the wholesomeness that you need to recall to mind. So you have them in the website, our website, and you can store all this. I was very surprised. All the photo we can just send out to the WhatsApp. You use one, a file or what? You send out one, the photos and all. PDF. So PDF, no capacity. It's like a document. Even with the photo there. Wow, so good. I didn't know. Last time I sent a few photo, the computer say, You reach your limit already, you cannot send already. So this one can go into a document file, which is very good. So if you were to store them or download them somewhere, because I send it to my email, then I download into my computer. So anytime I can on it. Then I also have my Google Plus, so it will go into my Google Plus also. So what happens is, when you have the condition, then when you want to go through all these things, once you own it, it gives you the condition to recollect all these things that you have done. And there is so much joy, like what my daughter came to realize. She was telling me. And she said everything was like so vivid, so clear, and so much wholesomeness. Then our sharing, how we actually come together and have those beautiful moments, and the way place that we visited, the people, the locality, the energy, the consciousness, the non-humans, the great being's nature and all these things. They are so beautiful. Then as you go through our years of spiritual trip together, especially from our website, we have it since the year 2008. But actually there were more before that, because I actually started coming out in the year 2004, when Yuan-chan invited me. But before 2004, I have my own spiritual trip. And because of condition, all this spiritual trip that time benefited me tremendously. My nature, everything. It's like meant to be those few years, 86 to the year 92, that 6 years. A lot of things happened. Apart from what I told you all, the teacher come, the guide come, the book come, the message come, everything come, whatever supposed to come, it just come. Then place I supposed to go and visit the people and all those things, I will go. Then I will meet the monk, the cultivator and all those things, and these special beings and all those things. Then apart from that, the nature there, is very conducive, and this how my nature knew that all these are very wholesome. It can be very beneficial to cultivators, especially Kayanamitas. That's the reason why after I came out, when there's condition, I told them, if you want to have spiritual trip or what, you just let me know, then my nature will know if it's appropriate or not, and the condition, the sign will come, everything will come. That's how it all started. Then we had our annual retreat at many places. Then after that, we had our classes, the website, everything. So as this evolve, you will have records of all this. Last time it was all recorded tapes, cannot last. Then luckily now our civilization has evolved so much more advanced. So we have later CD. Then after that we got recorder. Then we can put into files in the computer. So now you can store it. Then a lot of this like possibility comes when the website was developed. That was already 1 year, 9 months. By next year, March, is 2 years already, very fast. So, all these are the conditions that is meant to be. And if you have the understanding, and you have been following all the messages, especially this year, the October month, now is the beginning. We will be having our gathering of Kayanamitta annual gathering this 21st of October 2018. So this year's gathering is near to last year's restaurant, Jaya Palace, but we decided to change the venue because the caterer there, that person that we deal with, already left that place, and it seems got some problem there, not reliable anymore. So luckily we managed to locate him, and he is just the next restaurant at the end. You turn into that road, Minara exits, then you reach Jaya Palace, you drive straight, the dead end there is the new restaurant, they call it the Copper Mansion. Then you drive in on the further end near the ballroom there, you can turn right, there's a big car park there, very big car park. So the car park is flat rate, 5 ringgit, but you can carpool. Then you can find the jockey parking, they charge 10 ringgit, I think. So it's up to you. If you want convenient, you can park at the jockey there, otherwise carpool and park at the open car park. Then this place is more conducive. I have seen the place. Then I have told Joyce to book that place. Then we will be having our food tasting soon. Hopefully end of the week. I haven't got it confirmed yet, but more or less there. Then after that, you all can prepare yourself and gather. Then during this gathering of Kayamita, like every year, I will give a sharing, a message. Then the last year, we focused on the website because it was just developed. So this year, it's already more or less established, so easier. So maybe I will take you all to how to use the website. I realize many Kayamita still don't know how to use. Maybe you open it once a while, excited, then never continue. But I can tell you, it's a wealth of, it's a real gem, jewel there. A lot of things you can learn. And they are so beautifully laid out. Then the recording and all those things. We should thank the people who help out, especially Sui An, Jin Hao, they all, Brother Tio, Pramasuri, and those that help to put the thing in. It's not easy to maintain the website. It's not easy, especially Brother Lau also, the one that helped us, Sui An's ex-boss. But Jin Hao did a lot of work, very, very wholesome. We should all really rejoice and thank them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then not to forget those who have to do the transcript, the outline short notes, the draft and all those things. They actually help out in so many ways. Then Jin Hao was able to put the link. So you click on the link, you can see the outline short notes, you can read through. Then he also have the link to that whiteboard chart. So you see on your laptop or your computer, you can see the chart, the whiteboard writing. You can see the short note. Then you can listen to the audio simultaneously. And it's very, very beautiful. Then it's like you are there listening. Then you can pause, you can continue, you can play back. So this is the convenience that the website was able to give to Kayanamitas and all those who have affinity to go in and see them. That's why now when I send the message, if there is condition, I will put there the website link so that people can go and Google and go in. So far Google is no problem because most of the time I use Internet Explorer, then Google, then the website just come out. There's another one, Firefox. I seldom use that one. Maybe you all should use Firefox to access. Because the internet, I realize, you access it, the computer remember. Then you just type that thing, the thing will come out. I didn't know until I used Google. So every time I use Google, first few times cannot find. Then as I use, anywhere, anybody's phone, I just type Bro Teo. It's a short form for BrotherTeo.com. It just come out. Then the other good thing is, it's internet, this computer, I don't know what happened. Maybe it's the programmer, it's a search engine, I don't know what. All the things that is linked to this website or what we do, they will appear on. Like the launching date, because I send a few times, they will appear. Then the mic, they will appear. Then the most beautiful one is, last time I didn't know, I was curious. Somebody told me they saw my talk, my video and all those things. I said, I didn't put them on the website, how come they see? So I don't know. You know what I did or not? A few years back, I typed my name inside in Google. Then I was so surprised, everything come out. Are you going to type my name here? And I also don't know who put all these things inside there. There were a few people who find the talk very good. then they put it in. One of them was the SJBA talk. That one on depression. There was one doctor who was there. Then the other few were this. They call what? Putrahai, Buddhist Society. There was another brother, I think Dhamma practitioner. He's also very good. I remember he videoed me, he record. Then I didn't know he put on the website. Then also because of what we do. So you can start to see this thing. So internet has its, what they call, benefits when you know how to use it. So don't blame technology. Technology is here to stay. It's the user of technology that is very important. If you have wisdom, understanding, you know how to use it appropriately, technology will serve you. It will bring about great benefits to mankind, humanity, blessing to all. Then when you have the condition to go through, you will be able to see all this spiritual trip that is recorded inside the website. But if you want to see your own one, maybe your own WhatsApp photo after you go for the spiritual trip, you should download it. Download it, and you know how to link your phone to the various, I don't know what you call it, like Google Plus, or there is this one. The other one is one. Last time I used to use. They will copy your photo one. All your photo, they just copy one. And they will sort out for you also. And you can create a lot of things inside there one for your own viewing. I forgot what's the name already. I used to use that before Google Plus. Then later on Google Plus come in. But you must have a Gmail account. Google Plus very good. They sort out according to date for you, all your photo. So we have to learn how to use technology. Then share information. I like you all learning. I am not IT. What they call, my IT is very lousy. I never study IT, but my two kids study IT. So my daughter helped me a lot. So these are the thing that I want you all to develop the understanding so that you can really benefit from all this. And when you recall to mind all these things that you have gone through with us, even if you are not on the trip as Kayanamita, you are also benefiting from it, because our Kayanamita fund donate to the common pool of each and every of these spiritual trips. So as Kayanamita, you partake in it, you can also rejoice. Then when you look at all those things, it can give rise to good mind state. Then when this good mind state is with you all the time, it's like your, what they call, we call it, you can go, no problem. We call it the, what they call, your habitual tendency, things that you do very often, very regularly. So we are going through the working of karma. And you may recall, before death, the death proximity karma. The first one that will manifest is the one that you always do, your habitual tendency, good and bad. Understand? So you can make this the cultivation of the Dhamma and having the spiritual trip, your spiritual activity as your habitual tendency. I tell you, your good mind state will arise. Then you take the Bodhisattva vow. I tell you, all this will come. That's why when you take pearl in future, even without sasana, your understanding is there and you will progress very fast. And this is why it's important to have all this. And this is possible because our Kayanamita, the grouping, has actually evolved very well. And the consciousness has changed. and a lot of things have changed and happened. So it's meant to be, you all have the condition, things will unfold, things will happen. So once again, we would like to thank everybody for all these things, and we shall rejoice the usual way. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so now we can continue from where we are supposed to continue. Turn to page 381, chapter 21. We have finished chapter 20, the working of karma. Now is nature of karma. So, page 381. Okay, chapter 21, Nature of Karma, page 381. As you sow the seed, so shall you reap the fruit. So this is in the Sanyutta Nikaya, the short discourse. So we call it, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. This is one of the aspect of karma. The other aspect are what the Buddha asks us to contemplate after every day. The fifth contemplation, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So that is also very important understanding. That's why the nature of karma is like that. It is a nature's law. Everybody is subject to it, so you cannot run. Then the third one is, karma recognizes relationship, although the teaching teach anatta, non-self, empty nature and all those things. Then one more, last one, which is also not in the book, is for karma to ripen, you need condition. You understand? Without condition, it will not ripen. That's the reason why wisdom can help you to prevent the ripening of karma. When you have wisdom, understanding, you will know how to avoid the condition for negative karma to arise. But no matter what you do, the heavy karma you cannot avoid. Even the Buddha also cannot avoid. The five heavy karma is very difficult to avoid. Whenever there is condition, it will come. Mongalana also cannot avoid. With the psychic, he tried. Six times he escaped. After that, it come again. He give up. Where he went and checked, he realized what he did. He accepted it. We have time to go. That's why when it comes to heavy karma, a lot of monks, even during the Buddha's time, the Arahant, they have to go through. Two of them will go to death immediately after they become Arahant. That is payback karma, heavy karma. Then there were many other incidents, even the Buddha himself and all those things. So because of this factor, you have the understanding and the wisdom to avoid the condition, you can avoid unnecessary karma. So this karma that I want you all to develop the understanding today is cancer, where it's the number one killer. The other one is depression. So we will share tonight, when there is condition, later on I will go through. But you look at the whiteboard first. So as you can see, I turn the whiteboard around. As you can see from the whiteboard, five common symptoms of cancer patient. These are the symptoms that will manifest even before the particular person or patient realize he has cancer. Usually these five common symptoms, they are there, and they are the one that trigger off the actual cancer development. It can be 3 or 6 months before the actual development of cancer. 3 or 6 months before that, if they are hit by all this, then it will develop. Then most of them, depending on how severe the thing is, if you have been having this condition for 6 months and more without you knowing it, chances are your cancer will be very severe, much more severe. So your DNA coding and all those things, most of the time, unless it's heavy karma, the DNA coding will be like normal person. But if you have certain killing karma and all those things, you have to suffer, then your DNA come with that type of coding, then you are more prone. Then any of these five common symptoms, when they hit, you immediately gonna. But if you don't have the DNA coding, then sometimes you may you have what they call better endurance power. You can endure this thing better, and you don't have the DNA coding. I have seen certain people who don't have this karmic negativity from the past. One of them is our Kayamita, because one of the loved one passed away, was in depression for almost 2 years. Then all the symptoms were there, but she didn't develop cancer because she is a cultivator. And after she met me, after that, when there is condition, I talked to her, I just talked to her, she recovered completely. Then now she is beautiful. So last time when I started sharing and teaching her, when I talk about suffering, you know what she tell me? She said, "Brother Teo, no need to explain. I was caught in it for almost 2 years." He said he know suffering inside out, what depression is. He see psychiatrist, everything. See doctor, take the medication. Doesn't help. Miserable. But later on, through understanding the Dhamma, she just walk out of it, and she became more happy and so beautiful. So these are the possibility of understanding the Dhamma that can help the individual. So if you have your good karmic past, if you don't have this karmic DNA tendency, then even if you are subject to this before you know the Dhamma, you don't worry, it will not trigger off. But you will have the condition to come back into contact with the Dhamma, then you recover very fast. But most people who don't have that affinity and the DNA coding is not so strong, they will tend to develop that cancer. So we go through this five, and this is something that you can relate to in life. It's not what they call very scientific or what. If you have gone through life, you will understand. The first one is constipation. So constipation means very difficult for you to have good bowel. So you cannot discharge the toxin that is trapped inside your intestine, your colon and all those things. So when that happens, this toxin that is not discharged, they will trap, they will get trapped, and your body will absorb them in. That's how it causes problem. That's why to resolve this problem, do you know what you must do? There are a few things you can do. Check your diet, monitor your diet, don't simply eat. especially Asian, we like curry and all those things. Then the other thing is, they call this what they call probiotic. You know what is probiotic? Yeah? Probiotic is a medication to actually build up your, what they call, when you take antibiotic, they will kill everything in there. We are normally antibiotic is wide range, good and bad also they kill. So actually a lot of this, what you call that, bacteria in your intestine and your colon, they are useful to break down the food, to ensure good power, good absorption. So these good bacteria also die when you take the antibiotic. You understand? Then when you don't have this, your constipation will develop very fast. Yeah. Then you will lose your immunity. You will have more and more problems. Then the other thing also, you must drink sufficient water for your bowel. Then you take papaya. Papaya, raw fish. Take more veg. Veg, they call what? Rafacha. I don't know how to pronounce. Raw fish or rafacha. Raw fish, yeah. It will help you clear. That's why every time, last time, before I take probiotic, I have to hunt for papaya. I eat a lot of papaya, then it helps. Yeah. But now with the probiotic, I realize I still take papaya, but no need to go and look for it anymore. But every day, the bowel is very good, very natural. Yeah. So constipation is number one sign that a lot of people, when they have their bowel, there is blood in your stool, and that is severe already. Yeah. So a lot of this, what they call colon cancer, whatever cancer that is affecting your intestine and colon and your bowel, the only way to detect it is colonoscopy. Understand? So when you reach certain age, you have medical insurance or what, it's good to do a check if you have constipation and all those things. But sometimes early detection is very good. I know of one chiropractor. He did a colonoscopy because the doctor feel that he should do. Then went in, checked, got this initial polyps. You know what is initial polyps? Before they become cancer. So that colonoscopy can also get rid of these initial polyps. That's why the doctor did it for him and he recovered. At first he was worried when the doctor told him there is this polyp inside there. So we need to, after that, do a biopsy, see whether it's malignant or not. So luckily after he took it out, he did the biopsy, it hasn't spread, so no problem. It's just initial stage. And after that, he took probiotic and became very careful with what he eat. So this is one way to avoid the condition. If you have the understanding, then you have to be disciplined. Understand? Yeah? Don't indulge and allow it to happen. So number two, the second symptom is acidity in body fluid. Means you have been taking the wrong diet. You eat a lot of, certain type of body, your DNA is such you eat a lot of meat, it become very acidic. Yeah. But you have to find out yourself. Whatever that is excessive and not conducive, you should cut it down. Understand? And if you have problem with your health, the best advice is eat the thing that you don't like to eat. Understand? Because these are the things you need, your body need. Because the thing that you like to eat, you have more than enough, and it's still giving you trouble. That's why I change your diet. Yeah. But not necessarily you must go vegetarian or what, unless there is special condition. Because it's not what you eat that make you holy or spiritual. But what you eat can cause your health to either improve or deteriorate. So when it comes to health, you have to be careful with what you eat. So you have to have a balanced diet, a combination of good things. Yeah? So that this acidity will not build up. And to improve this, you have to drink a lot of water too. That's why sometimes people recommend early morning you wake up, drink a lot of water. At night when you're thirsty or what, drink a lot. Then our food nowadays got a lot of what they call Ajinomoto. Huh? Ajinomoto is gone. MSG, yes. Thank you. So these are the things that you can actually develop the understanding to prevent the condition for the second symptom. Okay? Yeah. The third one is the worst. When you have the third one, means what? Lack of proper sleep. You cannot sleep. Insomnia. Means got things disturbing you. Understand? No? You got problem. And most people who have this normally have the fourth symptom first. And the fourth symptom is the most powerful. A lot of people, because of this, straight away develop cancer. The fourth symptom is stress. That comes about through traumatic experience in life. Traumatic means something that hit you so badly that develop into intense grief, suffering, sorrow, lamentation, or fear, anxiety. Then these are very, very powerful mind state that can develop into depression and all those things. Sometimes mental disorder and all those things. And most of them are related to karma, because when the conditions set in, you don't have good karmic condition, you will not meet people who can advise you, help you to come out of it. Then you succumb to it. This traumatic experience usually happens when somebody close to that person passed away. Their loved ones, their spouse or whatever, or their children. Then they cannot accept that reality. They are very, very severely impacted. Then sometimes they have traumatic disease, developing into intense fear, anxiety. Then sometimes they get panic attack. For no reason, no. Fear just arise. They call panic attack. So last time we used to hear medical term, phobia. Phobia got many types. No. It's not just normal phobia of fear or intense fear. You heard of this word photophobia, no? You haven't heard? You look at light, especially children. The white light, the fluorescent light or whatever light. They can develop a type of response inside. It's like phobia or no. They call it photophobia, induced by the light. When my son was very young, he kena this. Then he bite his teeth. Luckily, my wife saw. I think 4 years old or what, I forgot already. So she was biting her teeth. Then luckily she shouted and called me. Then I went there. I put my hand inside bike. Then I got this key in my pocket. So I took out this long key and let him by. Then luckily he was in a fever fit now because of the photophobia. So luckily when I was at my classmate's house, we were nearby this Lady Templar Hospital. We drove there and he recovered. Luckily no damage, nothing. Because he was fit. Then they scared not enough oxygen go to the what they call the brain. He was like not conscious, fit. So a lot of these things, when you can understand, it will help you, help you to develop all this. So phobia can happen in many ways. Panic attack also can happen in many ways. So you don't go and simply listen to people and don't believe all these things. You have to use your wisdom and understanding. That's why sometimes these people who go through traumatic experience, especially I came across one lady who was a career lady. I think in her prime, 40, early 40, listed company, HR head. And because of the pressure from the CEO and all those things, she succumbed to tremendous stress until she got breast cancer. Breast cancer. So because of that, when she went and did the checkup, the doctor told her that she got breast cancer because they did the scan and all those things. Then also they did the whatever, I don't know what, all the medical tests. Then they told her she got to go through the operation immediately, then after that chemo, otherwise not good sign, because I think quite advanced, third or fourth stage. First time she didn't even know what is going on. So he just said, okay, need to go to for operation, go. But there was fear, intense fear. Then she got one, I think uni mate or college mate, happened to learn meditation under me. That was a long time ago. Then she told me about it and asked me whether I can help. I said, you check with her. If she don't mind, I come. Then I will come. I can help. But provided he wants. Then he go and ask. He said, yeah, she willing to meet up. So then I went with her. I tell you, when I was there, it was a weekend. He got one, I think one dog or two dogs. This dog was howling, you know, like can see ghosts and non-human type of howling. You know. Then when I came by, I went in, and I can sense many things has happened. Then I saw the intense fear in her. You know. Then later on, I told this Dhamma friend who learned meditation under me, I said, I only hear from you. I need to hear directly from your friend, I say. Otherwise, I cannot advise. Then at first, she was quite reluctant to relate what happened. No? But anyhow, she starts to relate something. So before I even hear much of it, I just ask her one question. I say, have you been going through some very stressful moment? Straight away, she told me, yes. The working environment and all. Oh, I said, it's normal, don't worry. Then tell me what happened. So she said she went to the hospital. That few days at the hospital, she freaked like anything. And you know what happened? Huh? Until the doctor and the nurse cannot handle her, tell the husband, you better bring her back on the weekend. Then come back on Monday to go through the operation and all those things. Because she can't sleep, she got insomnia. And she saw this non-human, understand? And she told me later on, he said, there was one in front of her telling her, you will die in 3 days. The other one on the ceiling. The other one outside the window. And the whole lot of the hospital was full of this non-human, he said. The husband told her, hallucination, don't believe all this. I said, this is not hallucination. Then when I told her that, she was happy, you know. He said, at least somebody understand her. Then he said, wait, call the husband down to listen. I said, what happened was, when you are in that sick condition, your frequency changes, understand? Your mind frequency changes until that level where you can match the non-human. That's what you can see. But I dare not tell her. When your frequency reach that level means what? Huh? You are about to die, understand? To be like them already. But I cannot tell her that, otherwise she panic more. I say, you don't have to worry. They don't have a physical body. They cannot do anything to you. You can talk to them, radiate love, radiate metta. Yeah. And all this, provided you understand you don't have fear, they cannot do anything to you. And you cannot recover because your stress build up all the intense fear, phobia, worry, anxiety, depressive mind state, sorrow and lamentation. I said, because of all this, these are all negative energy field tendency. These are the ones that cause your immune system to drop. Where you don't have love, you don't have peace, you don't have calmness in your mind. You don't have clarity, you don't have mindfulness and heedfulness. You don't have the positive mind state. That's why you get into trouble. And this one will haunt you, prevent you from sleeping, insomnia. When you lack sleep, your body cannot recover. Because your body needs sufficient sleep for the life force nature. When your thought is not actively obstructing, then it will heal by itself. You will recover. That's why after you sleep, you recuperate. But they don't understand. So after I told her, she was so happy. She said, I want my husband to listen. Then he called the husband down. Then he took our exercise book and started writing. Where I teach her how to do metta, then I give her some book. Then he asked the friend, the one that learned meditation. He said, who is Brother Teo? He thought I this line. My business is to treat this type of people. He thought I doctor or psychiatry. Then that friend told him, no, he's a civil engineer. Civil engineer, how come he know all this? Because he's a meditator, he's a cultivator. That's why a lot of things people cannot understand. So when you understand, you can reverse all this. Stress is something that you don't have to have. Understand? You don't need to have. It's just like suffering need not be. Understand? Enlightenment in the here and the now, end of suffering is possible. So this stress come about because of what? Thought projection. The trigger of fear. That it conditions worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Because of that fear, the intense fear within. But when you understand, this is just a life reality, is a disease, sickness. Not only you have to go through, every living being have to go through. Whoever who lives long enough, when the condition is there, they will have to fall sick. They will get into what they call the condition of disease and sickness. And when you don't have the Dhamma, suffering will arise. That's why the Buddha says, birth, old age, sickness and death is suffering when you don't have the wisdom, when you don't have the understanding. Then you suffer through your thought projection, developing all the negative mind state, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, phobia and all those things. Then you become angry. Then you hate yourself. Then you become emotional and violent. Until she told me the children also fear of her, scared of her. Where she got two daughters at that time. And the husband also every time don't know what to do. And most of the time is in conflict. Because when they are in this state, you don't have the understanding to help them. They actually become very, very violent, emotional. And especially when he told the husband thought she hallucinated. But to her, it's so real. These non-human are talking to her and telling her, 3 days from now, you will die. Your children will put on the, what? Tuaha, what they call, mourning, say. That's why she panicked. But luckily, after that, you know what happened? When I teach her how to do metta, calm down and all this. Then I say, to help her, I told my friend, ask her, she got a maid, no? Ask her to go and personally make me a drink. At first she went, he go and instruct the maid. I said, no, you go and do it. Then after she offered the drink, I sent a pure wish. And you know what happened that night? He said, first time in don't know how many weeks, she got a good sleep. The next morning, she was so happy. She called a friend, asked her to thank me for what happened. Then after that, she really followed what I tell her, and she recovered. She recovered. Then for 1 over year, I think. Then later on she came to my class, do the meditation. But somehow she take things for granted. She went back to work. That's why the thing start again. Then she also did some renovation or what they bought another property earlier on already bought. Then they did the renovation. I think got a bit of stress and other things. Then later on, she go and check after 1 hour to 2 years, there was a relapse. But when the relapse come, it is very, very difficult to deal. You know why? Despite what you have done, it still relapse. Understand? Huh? Yeah. So she also knew. Then she diligently developed the meditation, all those things again. But luckily by then, she already understand most of the important essential Dhamma. And you know, she told me what? I think about 2-3 months before she passed away. She said, "Brother, till now I got no more fear like last time. Yeah, but this is coming, I know. I have to pay back. Because the coming, DNA thing and all those things. And the life force is coming to an end. So you got no chance." She said, "For me, it's nothing. My only concern is my husband," he said, "and my 2 daughters. I said, "You don't worry. They have their karma. Just let things be. Do your duty. Wish them well. Have love." Yeah. So it was so beautiful. Yeah. And she got no fear, nothing. Yeah. Because when the relapse came, initially when the result come out, she was sad again. Yeah. But then, after she diligently do the meditation, there was one day, the result came out very, very good. No? She was full of joy again. No? But that one only lasts a few weeks. Then later on, when the results start to show, then I sent something, I told her, "These are from your past coming. You have to pay back. You have to go through it and all those things." That's why she accepted it and she knew. I say you can continue to fight, but the body is a body, and there's a limit to what you can do. Then when condition is such, we have to accept the reality of the moment where it's not real, not me. So if you develop this Dhamma understanding, you can actually transcend it, overcome it. When the body is sick, do not allow your mind to be sick. Yeah, this body goes the way of nature. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. But your nature never die. The eternal nature never die. As it silence your mind, stay within. Be at peace all the time. Don't worry. When the time comes, a lot of things will happen. With mindfulness, you will be beautiful. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. When you understand, you can mitigate it. Yeah. So, like I say, if it's not the heavy karma, the DNA coding is very strong, you can mitigate it. You can do a lot of things to prevent all this. Body and mind medication, asana, means your mind state, if it's good, strong, all this can be overcome. Your understanding, you can overcome them. Then you need to go for treatment with this mind state, chances of recovery is very high, provided it's not serious DNA coding and all those things. Then the last one is bad lifestyle or mental condition. You know this one, lack of exercise, you don't meditate, understand? You don't drink enough water and all those things. And like the video also got mentioned, that doctor who came to know all this. And what I like about the video is when she mentioned this fighting, he mentioned this fighting, I fully agree, because through my experience dealing with all these people I know, all of them tell me all this. Yeah, they have all this. Yeah. So what this doctor was trying to share in the video is, he said, the medical science is terrible with it. They want you to get it first, anasana. Then they recommend treatment, prescription. That's where the money is. You understand?
But they don't want to tell you that these are the symptoms that you have to look after, so that less people get cancer. If the doctor do this, does he make money? He hardly make money, is it? Because this is prevention. No, pharmacy also won't make money itself, because it doesn't cost you money. Maybe probiotic, they will make some money. Yeah. Apart from that, the rest, you meditate, no need money. Yeah. This is only free lunch. Yeah. You exercise also, no need money. Yeah. Then you must have proper lifestyle. Understand? No? Like Mahathir say, you must exercise your muscle, otherwise they will deteriorate. You must exercise your brain, otherwise dementia. No? Understand? So these are the things that you must do. To exercise your brain means what? Keep a breath, you think. You like to play mahjong, play mahjong. You like politics, like him, read a lot. If you like Dhamma, go and do Dhamma. Meditate Dhamma, enough. You will never deteriorate. Understand? So a lot of things depend on how you live your life, your lifestyle. These are very important. So these five common symptoms, if you understand them, you take care of them, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. Yeah. That's why I saw a lot of Kayamita after a while, when they understand the Dhamma, they have very little of this number 4 and number 3, you realize or not? All of them hardly got any stress or problem. They got also very fast, they come out of it. Yeah. And because of that, they sleep much, much better than most people. Some of them sleep very well. Last time, Alicia was the same. You go and ask her, all these are there. She got gastric and all those things. So, acidity will lead to gastric and all those things. Then irregular meal. Then constipation and all those things. So, these are the things that if you are careful and mindful, you can mitigate them. You will not have the condition to have cancer. Yeah. So hopefully with this understanding, you can have healthier life, better mind states, and healthier body to help you cultivate the Dhamma. Because you need a proper body and mind to develop the meditation, the cultivation. Otherwise, when you are having all these problems, I ask you to meditate. I tell you, you can't even understand Dhamma. Your stress is there. Your suffering is there. Your insomnia is there. How to meditate? When people talk about Dhamma meditation, you are restless down there. Full of fear, worry, anxiety. And the thing is haunting you. That's why when you see it, you cannot see it. That thought keep on coming. Your heedless thinking, non-stop. Okay, any question before we go back to the text? Yeah. So far, clear? Yeah, good, very good. Anybody want to add anything or not? Yeah. Based on what you understand. Yeah. Anybody? Huh? So clear, everything is understood. Oh, no question, huh? Oh, happy life. Don't have problem. Yeah. When you have the Dhamma, you will not have negativity or mind state. That's why positive mind state is a natural tendency. That's why the Buddha said, not only you avoid evil, you must cultivate wholesomeness, goodness. That's why noble evil power is what? Right view leading to right thought, right speech, or communication, right action, and right livelihood. That's why you must develop wholesomeness, virtue, goodness, kindness. And a lot of people don't have this understanding. That's why they don't know how to apply the four right effort. The four right effort is very important for initial cultivation. Then straightening your view is very important. And you must have mindfulness and heedfulness and awareness, the silent mind, to understand things, to develop the initial wisdom, so that you will not get yourself entangled with covetousness and fear. Remember, the four foundations of mindfulness.
Covetousness means your craving, your desire, your possessiveness, things that you hold on to very strongly. Fear is all your sorrow, lamentation, grief. So you grieve because of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, phobia and all those things. So all this, you will understand. Okay? Yeah. Good. We turn to page 381, then we continue. As you sow the seed, so shall you reap the fruit. So now this is clear. You reap what you sow. Do good, becomes good. Do evil, becomes evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. There is no other way. So this is very important. So the first sentence is one bound to reap all that one has sown in just proportion? That is the question. Then the Buddha said, not necessarily. In the Anguttara Nikaya, the middle length, the Buddha stated, if anyone say that a man must reap according to his deed, in that case, there is no religious life, nor is an opportunity afforded for the entire extinction of sorrow. But if anyone say that what a man reap accords with his deed, in that case, there is religious life and an opportunity is afforded for the entire extinction of sorrow. So you see the wisdom of the Buddha. You see, the first sentence says, if anyone say that a man must reap according to his deed, So according to his deed means whatever he do, he will reap. Understand not? But like what we understand, karma, the nature of karma is not like that. When there is condition, only it arises. So sometimes no condition, it will not arise, it will not manifest. So it's definitely not one must reap according to his deed, but instead, he said, one must reap. A man reaps accord with his deed. Accord with his deed means when there is condition for it to arise, it will follow accord according to what he do. Because the condition is there for it to arise. But not necessarily everything he do, he will have to reap. No. So this part is the big difference. So he said, what a man reap accords with his deed. In that case, there is a religious life and is opportunity. An opportunity is accorded for the entire extinction of sorrow. Yeah. When you understand that you can avoid the condition, there is no friction, which means you can overcome karma. Understand? You can cause it to cease. You can cause it to and suffering. When you have wisdom means there is no condition for it to arise. You remember what I told you, which I experienced in this life? When I start to see all this conditioning coming in, then I know it's karma. Then when it hit, it doesn't affect me. Where the severe test was my mother and my own son. Remember? My mother in the ICU, my son compound fracture. The moment I understand, it reverses. It doesn't afflict me anymore. It doesn't cause me any more karmic effect. Because my mind has the understanding, the wisdom. I can just accept it like that. No sorrow, no lamentation, nothing. That's how it ceased to be. After that, it reverses. Then everything falls back to place. Then I realized it was a test. I had to go through that test. Yeah. And nothing in this world can test me. Unless it's my own mother and my own son. Understand? That's why the Dhamma is very beautiful. But sometimes people don't understand. I got one Dhamma friend, he told me, because she will reach the stage where she need to be tested. Then her brother, younger than her, 30 years old at that time, he went to Hong Kong for a holiday, I think ate something wrong. Then he just passed away like that. Then after that, I think the sister-in-law was totally shattered, the life like gone, traumatic experience. But the children all very young, small. Then luckily she got the Dhamma. She went back and helped the sister-in-law, helped the mother to cope through. Then she managed very well. Then she came out. And when she came back to KL, you know what she told me. But if I know it's a test, this test will come, I would rather not have the test. That's what she told me. I said, it's not for you to choose. Well, the condition is such, nothing to do with you. This test will have to come because of your condition. And they also have their condition. Your brother's karma, your sister-in-law's karma, and your mother's karma. They need to take all this, understand? So when condition matches, it will unfold. It's not for you to decide. Understand? So luckily for my case, is my mother, heart attack only. Profuse sweating, heart attack is a health condition. So I am sent her to see my classmate, gave me a letter, admit straight away. He straight away told me, heart attack, don't wait. Gave me a letter, admit to UH. UH, I remember UH. Luckily, my sister was a staff nurse there. So went into ICU and she survived. Then the other one was my son's compound fracture. He was still very young at the time. Then there was no fear, nothing. When my wife called me, I didn't even scold my mother. My mother was helping me, looking after them. Whatever happened, happened already. What is there to scold? I even told my mother, don't worry, nothing to do with you, you don't worry. We do what we have to do. So I told my wife, send my son to my classmate, the doctor, uni mate, also my schoolmate. Then he said, this one need to go to hospital because compound fracture. So immediately give me a letter. So again, I went in. Then that time I was lucky, we were working in the university. So this is a university hospital. Then my TA, long time there, when I call him up, he said, no problem. He said, I still remember Mahesan. His name was Mahesan. He was a very nice guy, very experienced. Much older than me. That time I was still very young. I think about 40 plus to 50, when I was only 20 plus, coming to 30. So he arranged for me. He said, no problem. I will get you the best doctor. He said, no need to wait. He said, you just bring, then I take you in. So he make all the appointment. Then this doctor was very good, Dr. Dylan, I still remember. He also saved my mother's gangrene. This doctor was very good. So he checked the x-ray, then he told me he had to do an operation straight away to fix it back. I said, no problem. I did that. More or less perfect. A lot of teachers. That time my son was very young. I think about more than 10 teachers. He healed very well. So no problem. The moment I understand, it reversed. Then everything fall back into place. My mother discharged. My son came out. Okay, recover. Then from that day onward until now, no more tests, nothing. So thing is just the way it is, meant to be, will be. At that time was 1989, I remember. That was the time I have the understanding. Immediately it come and test. And very powerful, simultaneously. Okay, so we go on. In Buddhism, therefore, there is every possibility to mold one's karma. You know what is a mold, isn't it? You want it to be more whatever way you can do it. So when you understand, you can do it. Although it is stated in the Dhammapada that not in the sky, nor in the mid-ocean, nor entering a mountain cave is found the place on earth where abiding one may escape. For from the consequence of evil deed. Yet one is not bound to pay all the areas of past karma. See, you don't have to pay everything. There are certain karma that is not the heavy type. If there is no condition, it will not arise. Yeah. Then when you awaken Arahant onward, all those karma no more meaning. It cannot torment the Arahant anymore. You understand? Yeah. They say it's like the analogy. You got a karma means like salt. Then the good one is water. So you got a lot of salt means very bitter. So this salt water that is in the pot, very difficult to bear because that is your life condition. But when you become an Arahant, what happened? It's like the bottom of the pot broken. Understand? All the salt water, the salt is supposed to be your negative karma. It cannot cause anything to the Arahant because the Arahant is enlightened. He will not suffer. There's no condition for him to suffer. That's why the whole bottom is like broken and all the salt water come out. That's why it's no more salty condition. You understand? He will live a good life. So you don't have to exhaust your karma. Like what is written here. Yet one is not bound to pay all the areas of past karma. If such were the case, emancipation would be an impossibility. Eternal suffering would be the unfortunate result. Because if you really cannot develop the wisdom to be free, then how can you finish paying back your karma? That's why it's eternal hell. But there is no such thing. We have salvation in the here and the now. Before you die, it's possible. You don't have to wait till die or death to realize the enlightenment, the awakening. So the awakening is realizable in the here and the now before you die. Okay, next page. Wow, less than 7 minutes left. Okay, we go a bit faster. One is neither the master nor the servant of this karma. Even the most vicious person can by his own effort become the most virtuous person. This one is true, isn't it? Angulimala, remember? He killed so many and he became an Arahant. We are always becoming something, and that something depends on our own action. We may at any moment change for the better or for the worse. Even the most wicked person should not be discouraged or despised on account of his evil nature. He should be pitied for those who censure him may also have been in the same position at a certain stage. As they have changed for the better, he may also change, perhaps sooner than them, than they. Who knows what good karma he has in store for him? Who knows his potential goodness? Then he quoted Angulimala. Angulimala, a highway robber and a murderer of more than 1,000 of his brother, became an Arahant and erased, so to speak, all his past mistakes. See, you don't have to pay back. Then Alavaka, the fierce demon, who feasted on the flesh of human being, gave up his carnivorous habit and attained to the first stage of sainthood, Sotapatti. Then Ambapali, a Cartesian, purified her character and attained Arahantship. Asoka, who was stigmatized, Chanda, wicked, owing to his ruthlessness in expanding his empire, became Dhammasoka, or Asoka of the righteous, and changed his career to such an extent that today, amidst the tens of thousands of names of monarchs that crowd the column of history, their majestic and graciousness, serenity and royal highnesses, and the like,
the name of Asoka shines and shine almost alone, a star. There are a few striking examples which serve to show how a complete reformation of character can be effected by sheer determination. It may so happen that in some cases, a less evil may produce its due effect, while the effect of a greater evil may be minimized. The Buddha said, "Here, O Bhikkhu, a certain person is not disciplined in body, in morality, in mind, in wisdom, has little good and less virtue, and live painfully in consequence of trifling misdeed. Even a trivial act committed by such a person will lead him to the state of misery." See, it depends on your karmic past. If your karmic past is terrible, this life you do a little bit of evil enough to send you to a state of misery. That's how you will kena kau kau. So if you have a lot of wholesomeness and a lot of virtue cultivation from the past, so this life when you are young, before you connect, even you make some mistake, it will not be so bad. Understand? Like this life, I come, I remember, the life is so smooth, like everything go my way. Then when I was born, the first 6 years, I like got no mind. My mind was like nothing inside, very clear. Then as I grew up, just before I went to school, my parents transferred me back from Butterworth to Alostar, where the place is like a notorious place, Tai Kong, like that, and gangster and all those things. Well, I grew up from there, you know. So I know all the conditioning, everything, and that's how I grew up. Then I realized, even in that state, the gangster don't disturb me. My brother, they all kena. Everybody in the village kena, but they don't come after me. The money in my pocket never get extorted and all those things. My brother, one time I remember, he saw them coming from afar. He quickly called me, you know. Then he passed the money to me. He said, "You keep the money." Then I was thinking, why? Then I don't know, I just keep the money. Then immediately, he was confronted by the gangster looking for money, search him, all the pocket, or even the place you hide your money, whatever place they search. Then I saw what they did to my brother, but I just stand there, and they never come and disturb me also. I was there until I was form 5. I never get any problem with the gangster. See, your karma will take care of you. So what I experienced was just the minor karmic thing that I had to pay back. Did I tell you about one green coconut tree's leaf? I told you all. I think only the earlier people know. That time I was quite young, I think 13 or 14 years old, form one. We like to play badminton. So we have a badminton court in our village, open court one. We share, pool together money, and they do up the concrete court, but open air. So we are having our afternoon about 3 something, 4 o'clock. So normally we will chit chat there until 4:30. We will start to play, because after that it will be more and more cooling until we like to play after 6. After 6 is very nice, the weather. So what happened was, when we were sitting there, I remember about 3 something, the 4 o'clock, the wind was very strong, and that day was a very normal day, sunny. 3 of us were sitting on a bench. I was in the middle. And you know what happened? It's not a dry coconut tree's leaf, no. It's a green one. Green one. And really green. Very, very strong green leaf. Flew off from the coconut tree, from the back, and hit my back, no. You know where is it?
my this shoulder, I remember. I forgot, left or right, I forgot. It hit me, I flew 30 feet now from the bench. Huh? I was in the middle, I was the only one canana. Boom, flew there. Then I also didn't know what happened. Then my friend all panic, blood shooting out. So straight away took me home. But luckily my father, since he know how to make the blood stop. Then he said, rest, don't do anything. And my father also didn't scold me, didn't even ask me what happened. I just said coconut leaf. He didn't even ask whether green or brown. He just treat me and I recovered. So that was one of the major happening that I have to pay back. Apart from that, it's all very minor, like pricked by the nail, cut by what glasses and all those things. So that one I heal very fast. Well, my father, sincere, got the sakyong, everything. I go back, apply all those things, until I also know how to apply. Then, apart from that, nothing. So that's what karma is all about. 10:30 already. So just nice. We stop. Okay, we stop. So not bad. At least we covered 2 over page. Okay, good. We stop at page 383. 383. Okay, so we've share merits, transfer merit, then you can rejoice and make your aspiration. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness. Then we shall share and transfer these merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Akka sata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakan tulu kasasana itta wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Let me end.